from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, August the 31st, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Overcoming the Power of Fear.
Well, it's time to get Lady Jerry up here. She'll shake you up, I hope. I believe. And you need it. And so do I. But I'm not going to be in here to listen to her. We've got, while you're eating lunch today, we're going to be pouring 9 yards of concrete right over here at lunchtime. So we got a lot of work to do here. Regardless of what goes on, some things have to be done as well. Sometimes the air conditioner goes out, something else happens, and we have to fix it on the spot. Okay. You can turn the picture off or whatever you want to do with it. Okay. Okay, Jerry.
The worship is wonderful. Linda, I love that song. God has blessed us so much. You know, we need to quit grumbling and complaining, right? We need to thank God for all of His blessings because we may not have them much longer. Amen. We're living in days that are so... If horrific, if you want to know some things that are going on in the world, look on worldnetdaily.com. And that's some of the real news. There's others. But we have an armor of light, and we have to walk with the Lord. God says, fear not, and be not dismayed. Well, this morning I want to share with you a message on overcoming the power of fear. You know, every fear in your life has to be dealt with if you're going to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You have a land to possess, a spiritual land to possess, and there's giants in your land, and they scare you. And you have to overcome every one of them because God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Is that what He says? And faith, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So fear is the substance of things not hoped for and the evidence of things that are seen. Fear is a sin. You know, most of the time we excuse sin as, oh, that's just the way we are. That's the way mother was. That's the way my granddaddy was. But fear is a sin, and fear is an evil spirit. And faith in what the devil's telling you versus faith in what God tells you. And so every fear in your life and my life has to be overcome if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. Did you know that you can live free of fear? And see, whenever you fear, as Ish was telling you last night, you know, your body's made in such a way that, and if you're in a stressful situation, as he was explaining when he had to jump up on that cab to keep from getting run over, your body produces adrenaline and hormones, chemicals, neurotransmitters, a cortisol, and that's a good thing in a stressful situation. But if you live every day in a fight or flight situation, cortisol will destroy your immune system. And it also destroys the interleukin 2, which causes your white blood cells to read the antigen flag that there is an enemy in your body. Your white blood cells or your white T cells are warrior cells. And in a healthy immune system, if you have anything foreign, a cancer cell or a virus cell or anything that's not supposed to be there, your white T cells will attack it and eat it up. But if the interleukin 2 is destroyed in a cell, then it keeps the white T cell from reading the antigen flag that is an enemy. And so God wants us to live in peace. He says he'll give you perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him. Fear is living for the respect and honor of others. It takes on five forms. Worry, distress, which is stress. You know, you go to the doctor and he says, you know, I can't find anything wrong with you. It's just stress. Well, that just means that you're living in fear. It means anxiety. It means worry. It means panic. It means timidity. In fact, the Bible tells you that to the cowardly and unbelieving, you'll not even enter the kingdom of heaven if you're a coward. You know, we're living in days where we may have to come to the place where if we don't renounce Christ, we may get put in front of a firing squad. You know you're a coward if you would renounce Christ. That's a good, surefire way of knowing, right? And so you can ask yourself that question now. What would you do? Nobody would want to do that, but would you kowtow to them? Or would you stand for righteousness? And so now you have a chance in the days we're living in to start working on that. So when you stand before the Lord, he can say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so fear means to be afraid, be scared, be worried that something bad is going to happen. Fear projects into the future. It manifests through, as Ish was saying last night, through fear, through fight or flight, and through the resistance stage, and then it culminates in exhaustion stage. It's behind the fear is behind the desire to have to be in control. Fear of being out of control. You know, that comes in childhood when to keep our world of chaos in order, we have to take control or we have to take charge. And so if you have a controlling spirit, that's rooted in fear. If you have fear is also at the root of chronic fatigue syndrome. It's also at the root of perfectionism. People that are performance-oriented are driven by a spirit of fear. You know, recently I attended Henry Wright, a seminar out in Georgia, and I didn't think I really had any fear because I grew up being protected. But actually, you know, fear is at the root of all sin, because if we really believed God, we wouldn't be sinning, right? And so but I didn't realize I really had any fear, but the Lord showed me I had fear of being tired. Is that ridiculous? I used to have fear of being fat, and that's still there a little bit, but not fear. But another fear that I had was fear of not being a perfect mother, fear of not being a perfect mother-in-law, fear of not being a perfect grandmother. You see, God wants us to live in faith, not fear. And so I don't care if you think you're fearless, you have fear somewhere. And we've passed these sheets out, and you can add things to your list. But fear is not acceptable because it's the opposite of faith. God wants us to live in perfect peace. He said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I to you. He said, I will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon me. God told Joshua, he said, fear not and be not dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, uphold you with my righteous right arm. And so our bodies were not designed to live in fear, but our bodies were designed to live in peace. And the lack of peace produces disease, and I heard it said out in Georgia that dis-ease is what it is, D-I-S-E-A-S-E. And so it causes disease. Satan knows that if he can get to your spirituality, he can control the way you think. And if he can control the way you think, he's got you. Because Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And can I tell you also that what's in your heart comes out your mouth? That's why it says in Matthew chapter 12 that by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Because your words reveal what's in your real heart. And so it says in James, and the Lord has been dealing with me about this and some issues, because the Bible says no man can tame his tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. But if you get your heart purified, your tongue will be controlled. because it'll be purity and you'll be speaking from the purity of your heart. The scripture also says in Matthew chapter 12, or maybe it's, yes, 12 or 15, Matthew 15, it says, what's in your thoughts proceed from your heart. So if you've got perverted thoughts up here, if you've got evil thoughts, it means there's been something planted down in your heart that's causing you to have to think these evil thoughts. And so if you get your heart purified through saying, Lord, why is it I'm thinking this way? Or why is it I keep saying these particular words? And deal with it at the cross. God will purify your heart. He'll change your way of thinking, and He'll change your words. But Satan knows that if he can control you through a spirit of fear, that he can destroy your bone marrow, and that's where your blood's made. The life is in the blood. And if he can destroy your bone marrow through overproduction of cortisol and all these chemicals and hormones and neurotransmitters, then he knows that he can destroy your health. He can control your health. And that's why God tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:4, 5, and 6 that we're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Proverbs 14 says, passion, which is anger, rivalry, envy, jealousy, will rot in your bones. And, of course, your blood is made in your bone marrow. And you need your white blood cells. You need your red blood cells. And if you destroy your bone marrow, then you've destroyed your white cells, which are the warrior cells that fight disease in your body, and it will destroy your immune system. The enemy, by controlling your thoughts, can also control your nervous system and can produce pain at will whenever Satan chooses to. He can cause there to be pain in your body because he controls your nervous system. And he can, your wrong thoughts can also produce psychogenic pain, which means originating in the mind or in mental or emotional processes, having a psychological rather than a physiological origin. Go, if you will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You know, God gives you the remedy of pain for pain right here. You know, you say, I have pain in my body. Well, can I tell you, pain is rooted in vexation, which is grief, it's anger, it's resentment, it's hurt, it's idolatry. In other words, if you have pain in your body, it's rooted in some vexation down in your heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You know, usually when people have pain, they go to the doctor and say, doctor, I have pain. He gives me something for the pain, and then that side effect causes something else. And then I go back and say, doctor, you know, I've been having a headache, and so we'll give you headache medicine. And then that makes you nauseated, and you go back and you say, doctor, I'm nauseated. And then he gives me something, and they say, well, doctor, I've got muscle spasms, and so he gives me something for that. And it's just like all of the side effects all of those drugs. Prescription drugs. I was looking on the internet the other day, and prescription drugs is listed right now as the fourth cause of death in Americans in the United States. The third cause is medical errors, which I believe is tied in with drugs. If you just look at the side effects on these drugs, recently there's a new commercial on television about restless leg syndrome. How many has heard that? And it says, and by the way, if you start having sexual urges, or if you start have an urge to gamble, then quit taking it or go get another drug or something. Isn't that ridiculous? You listen at the side effects, you think, what in the world would I want that for? I'd rather trust myself to the great physician. If you're on medication, please know that I'm not condemning you. But you know, as you get delivered and as you get repented up, you'll have a need for that less and less. And I'm not telling anybody to quit your drugs, but I'm telling you to get delivered and repent, and you won't need them. You know, I'm almost 69 years old, and I'm on no medication. I just repent all the time. Repent, repent, repent. And I've got some physical things that are serious. I mean, to me it's serious. But God is telling me if I can control my tongue, I can control my whole body. You know, I'd like to be 50 pounds lighter than I am. And instead of saying I'm fat, which reinforces my problem, I need to take charge of my tongue. But why not keep saying that? Because there's something down in my heart that's not dealt with. And I'm still looking. And I'm not going to quit looking till I leave this earth. In Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. But God has got an answer to all of your problems. You know, you hear this and then you go right back to the world looking for answers. Don't do that. God, He is the great physician. And He sent His Word to heal you. He didn't send folks to heal you. They can patch you up and shift it around and move it around and sew it up. But it just helps you hang in there. But the more excellent way is to find the spiritual root to why you have what you have. You know, just with heart, for example, there's 800 scriptures on the heart. If you just start looking up heart scriptures, heart, heart trained in greed, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. There's an enlarged heart because I've taken everything. If you just look at all the scriptures on the heart, arrogant heart, haughty heart, stony heart, stubborn heart, my goodness, there's just a little prayer list of repentance right there. Amen? Just a few things. We've all been those ways. And so God wants to heal you, and He sent His Word. He sent His Word to heal you. Okay, look in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10. So remove vexation, which is grief, anger. King James says remove sorrow from your heart. You know, when I sin, I may like it. I don't, but just say I do. If I like to sin, it affects my body and brings sorrow to my life. Whether I feel sorrowful about it or not, it's a cause of grief. A grief to God, and it's a grief to my spirit man. But it King James says, remove sorrow from your heart, which means anger, vexation, provocation, fretfulness. You know, when I'm fretting, I'm not resting. Is that right? Wrath, spite, grief, hurt feelings, and idolatry. Remove that from your heart, and you can put pain out of your body. You say, well, you know, I've got this particular problem. Can I tell you? Bill Gothard says that the issues you do not deal with in childhood, your unresolved childhood issues will torment you in later life. And that's true. God says, children, honor your mother and father that all may be well with you. Honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to pattern your life after them. It doesn't mean if they're evil and satanic, you even have to fellowship with them. But it means that by sundown, you forgive them. And there's many things that happened to us in childhood. Last night, we ministered to people that had, the pain in the skin. Right. And see, that's rooted. That's your covering. That goes back to childhood. Mom and Dad didn't cover me. My whole life I've had to cover myself. And it's caused me vexation, grief, pain. And instead of turning to God as a little child, I didn't know I could. I turned to I've got to find somebody that will take care of me and protect me. See the idolatry of that vexation? And that's not to condemn anybody that has it. God says my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And you know, I don't have all the knowledge. I have one little tiny speck. But I want to be a person that seeks after truth so I can have the knowledge that keeps me from perishing. And I'm not planning on retiring when I'm 70 years old. I feel like I am just now getting started to what God has for me. I mean that. If you have that kind of mindset, guess what? Don't have that kind of mindset. God put you here for a reason. He put you here to be His servant. He didn't put you here just to go through life and then die and go wherever. He has a purpose for you. Amen? And you know, it's such a joy to have a purpose higher than yourself. Everybody has got a purpose. You don't have to have a set ministry to be a minister. You are an ambassador of Christ. That's what the Word of God says. And wherever you go, you can be a light that shines out. As Ish was saying last night, let your glory show forth. Wherever you go, there'll be miracles and signs and wonders following you. And if you can't think of anything else, say, I would like to bless you today. I just bless your going in. I bless your finances. I bless your health. I bless your family. You know, if I speak a curse, if I say something negative about somebody, a demon takes that and carries that out in that person's life if there's a spiritual ground. A curse without a cause cannot lie. But a blessing works like this. If I speak a blessing, it imparts God's grace to that person's life to carry out what I've blessed. Hallelujah. It's more powerful than speaking curses. Praise the Lord. So God says, if you've got pain in your body, physically, mentally, emotionally, sexually, wherever, it's rooted in vexation. Find the root of it and it's gone. Hallelujah. And there could be one reason you've got vexation. There could be one reason you have pain. There could be 500 reasons. And you keep dealing with it like peeling an onion and take off layer by layer by layer through repentance. And when the last thing is gone, you're healed. Amen? Bless the Lord. And there's usually somebody you need to forgive. If somebody hurts me and I get angry, and I've got till sundown to deal with it, and I let the sun go down on it, the next day is unforgiveness, and the next day it's bitterness, and bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. It'll kill you. Bill Gothard says that germs cannot even live in your body unless there's bitterness in your body. And I believe that. I can start grumbling and complaining and get indigestion within an hour. Right? Because it's bitter. Praise the Lord. So God tells us to take our thoughts captive. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now, I want to read this. This is not original revelation given me, but it was something that I received from Henry Wright's ministry recently. But I want to read this. The glands in the endocrine system maintain the chemical balance in your body. For every thought you have, negative or positive, conscious or unconscious, there is a chemical neurotransmitter, a hormone, a nerve signal released in conjunction with it. Now, when that happens, we can let God heal it and let God fix it, or we can go to the world, and the world will manage it for us. I like what Ish said down here, and I hope I'm quoting you right, Ish. If not, I'm going to get it straight this time. But last time you were down here, you said that 6 minutes or 6 seconds. 6 minutes of negative thinking shuts down your immune system for 24 hours. So we better start thinking positive, right? Suppress it. Okay. Okay. Suppress it. It'll suppress it. Okay. Remind me to change that, Carla. The hypothalamus gland is called the brain of the endocrine system. It's the link between your nervous system and your endocrine system, the two major control centers of your body. The hypothalamus gland listens to your limbic system through mind-body connection, which causes your body to respond physically, emotionally, and spiritually. It controls and integrates the autonomic nervous system in many ways and is designed to produce various chemicals, neurotransmitters, hormones in your body to cause your body to be chemically balanced when you're in peace concerning God, yourself, and others. When the hypothalamus gland detects changes in the body, it releases chemicals called regulating factors that are secreted by the body to bring it back into homeostasis, what Ish was talking about last night, which means a medical term for bringing your body back into peace. You see, fear takes away your peace. And the hypo or hyper, which means over or under secretion of hormones, chemicals, neurotransmitters, causes disease. So we can let God bring our body back into balance through dealing with our sin and bringing our life back into peace. Something that's helped me more than anything lately, you know, I've had the gift of tongues for years and years and years, and I really haven't used it that much. But I've got to the place in my life where I used to have this long prayer list of everything I wanted. And I'm to the place in my life, I don't care, I just want God to do His will. And so I'll get up every morning and pray 2 hours in tongues, and I'm telling you, or 2.5 hours, and I'm telling you, that brings my body into peace. And I don't even know how to pray for myself. I mean, God, straighten out everything that's crooked. Pray for your family members that you want to see change. Start blessing them. Something else I do, I bless my children. I bless them with everything I want to see in their life. Amen? Because when I do that, God's grace is imparted to that person to carry out that blessing. Praise the Lord. And so we have a tendency not to see fear as a sin. We just kind of justify it. In 1999, Time magazine listed 4,000 forms of fear. By now, it's surely more. In 2005, there were 157 million prescription drugs written for anxiety or anti-anxiety drugs. They actually make you anxious. And many, many, many drugs' side effect is suicide. I know people that have killed themselves that would have never killed himself had they not got depressed and went to a doctor and he gave them a drug that just gave them a false courage to just check out of this world. Most of the children that shoot up schools are on all kinds of psychiatric drugs. The lady that killed drowned her children in Houston, she was on psychiatric drugs. It gives you the courage to do things you would never do. Norman Parrish said one year when he was here that taking psychiatric medicines will cause you to fall away from the faith. The Bible says in latter times men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And psychiatry is a doctrine of a demon and a seducing spirit. It says in Colossians, and I know I have great respect for James Dobson, and there's many psychologists and psychiatrists that love the Lord, and I'm not coming against them, but I'm saying what God's Word says. Colossians 2:9 says, "See to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world, rather than Christ." You see, what that's doing is it's slapping a Band-Aid on a spiritual problem. It's trying to bypass the penalty of sin. You can't get around it. There are consequences. But God wants to heal you. Now, there's certain things that God tells us that are good to fear. And Jesus said, what is the right kind of fear? He taught whom to fear. In Matthew 10:28, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." In the book of Proverbs, it reveals a good kind of fear. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil," Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord will prolong life," Proverbs 10:27. "The fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life," Proverbs 14:26. "The fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil," Proverbs 16:6. "The fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil," Proverbs 19:23. "The fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life," Proverbs 22:4. You know, there's a demonic fear of the Lord. The good kind of fear of the Lord is to have a reverential awe for God. The true fear of the Lord will cause me to turn away from evil and run to God. But a demonic fear of God is a demonic thing. I'm afraid of you, God. You know why I'm afraid of God? It's because I was afraid of my mother and daddy. Because parents model for me a picture of what God's like. And so if I have a demonic fear of God, instead of turning away from evil, I'll run away from God. And that's demonic. But the true fear of the Lord will cause me to turn from my sin and run into God's arms for the answer. So God wants us to have a fear of Him. A demonic fear of God comes in through being afraid of authority issues as a child. You watch a little animal, especially a little dog that's been mistreated or kicked or abused. He cowers around a man. And so that's the way we do with God if we were afraid of our mothers and fathers. Oswald Chambers says the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you won't fear anything else. Deuteronomy 1:21 says, "See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up and take possession of it. As the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you, do not fear or be dismayed." And Lord, we just ask you to just seal all of this word, your word, to our heart in Jesus' name. We bind any spirits that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We declare you cannot work in this place. So we are either overcoming or we're getting overcome. You're doing one or the other. You're either an overcomer or you're being overcome. And you need to get into the Word of God. If you're not, meditate on the Word of God and ask God to cleanse all of this out of your mind. God says in Deuteronomy 3:22, "Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you." Glory to God. That scripture is going to be real important in these last days. Deuteronomy 6:13, "You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship Him and swear by His name." Deuteronomy 31:8, "And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Hallelujah. What a comfort in the days we're living. 6:27 says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why you take thought for raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I yet say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what we shall eat or what we shall drink. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." And Ish quoted this scripture last night, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Glory to God. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all knowledge, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." And in about approximately 344 times in the Word of God, it says, "Fear not," in words like that. So fearing not is not an option, it's a command. Fear not. Fear is a sin. Fear is a demon. And I want you to see that it's rooted in idolatry. Go to Deuteronomy 32. "When you lay down the idol behind the fear, you won't have the fear." When you lay down, and I want you also to see that anger and jealousy is rooted in idolatry. If you want to overcome anger and jealousy, you've got to lay down the idol behind it. If you don't lay down the idol, you'll keep it. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 15 says, "But Jezreel," which is another word for Israel, which is the people of God, it means the upright one, "grew fat." And that means to be covered over with fat. The heart gets so covered over with fat so that you can't hear God. It means to produce from the flesh. He said, Israel, God's children, grew fat, produced from the flesh, couldn't hear God. This is one of the roots to cataracts, because your heart is tied in with your eyes. And if your heart is calloused, the cataract is like a callus on your eye. I had a place on my eye, the doctor said, the eye doctor, when I went for glasses, he's not really a doctor, he's just an eyeglass guy. He said, well, he's an optometrist, optician. Carla's husband is an optician. But anyway, he said, "You have a place on your eye that's going to turn into a cataract." At first I said, "I break that curse in the name of Jesus." And then I did, word studies on eyes. I repented over all the eye scriptures in the Bible, all the scriptures on light, all the scriptures on dim, darkness, everything I was experiencing. I must have spent 35 or 40 hours repenting over the word. When I went back to the doctor, he said, and I also repented over this scripture, coming out of generations of Jezreel people that produce from the flesh. Take the bull by the horns kind of people and just hang in there and let the front end drag kind of people. And so the last three times I went for eyeglass, they weakened the prescription the last three times. I said, what about that place on my eye? He said, it's gone. See, he sent his word to heal you. And you can hang in there, or you can go the more excellent way and find God's solution. And I'm not condemning anybody that's going to the doctor or trusting. But what I'm saying is, get deliverance. Repent of your sin. Keep on looking till you find God's answer for your problem. And then you won't need the medication. Then you won't need to go to the world for answers, because honestly, it just helps you hang in there. And so it says that God's people, it says they scorned that they forsook God who made them and scorned the rock of their salvation. They made God jealous with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed the demons who were not God, which is what you do when you worship idols. And I want to say what an idol is. An idol is anything. It's an idea, a picture in your mind. It's an image. An idol is something you compare yourself with. It's something that you love more than Jesus. In fact, the Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity, every sin, is idolatry. It says they sacrificed to demons who are not God, to gods whom they've not known, new gods who came lately. And I want you to put right there someplace, right, Revelation 9:20 there, that says when you worship idols, you worship demons. Verse 20. Now I want you to see the consequences of idolatry. Then he, God, said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they're a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. Now, this is God's people. This isn't unbelievers. These are people of God. So I'll make them, number one, jealous with those who are not a people. Number two, I'll provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Do you see that anger and jealousy is rooted in idolatry? So if you've got an anger problem, a jealous problem, you need to lay down the idol and then it'll leave. Verse 23, I'll heap misfortunes on them. Do you see that misfortunes is rooted in idolatry? I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine. Now, circle arrows and put Job 6:4, where Job said, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. God told Job, he said, God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, well, you know, he wouldn't love you if you took away all of his blessings. And so God gave Satan permission to touch Job. Not one time did Job say the devil did anything, did he? He said, God has loosed his bowstrings on me. Right? There's arrows. He said, he's run his truths over me. It says, I'll use my arrows on them. They shall be wasted by famine. King James says hunger. That could be the root of why we're always hungry 5 minutes after we eat. And consumed by plague. You see, that's rooted in idolatry. And bitter destruction and the teeth of beasts I'll send upon them, and the venom of crawling things of the dust. Now, you can put Genesis 3 there. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God began to rebuke the serpent. And he said, Satan, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. And then he began to rebuke Adam, and he said, Adam, you are dust. What he was saying is, Adam, every time you get in the flesh, I command the serpent to bite you. Amos 9. It says that a serpent, when you break through a hedge, a serpent will bite you. God has a hedge of protection around you. And if you've got a hole in your hedge, the enemy's attacking you in that hedge. Okay, he says, so he says, I command the serpent and it bites you. He says, if the venom of crawling things of the dust and the teeth of beasts, put Amos 9 there and put Genesis 3 there and put 1 Peter 5:8, that says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. Did you know you can be swallowed up by a spirit of fear? You can be inside a spirit of fear and have fear spirits inside of you. Because if be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word means drink down in the Greek. Drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. Right? And there's other scriptures too. Jeremiah 51 says, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has filled his stomach with my delicacies, and he swallowed me down like a monster. And what about Jonah? When he ran, God let the fish swallow him, right? That's a picture. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. The lions couldn't swallow him up because he had God's protection. Okay, keep reading. It says, with the venom of crawling things of the dust, outside the sword shall bereave, and inside terror. Now, terror means to be overcome by fear. It's a stronger word. And that word in the Hebrew means the idol is the boogie bear. You know what that means? Oh, I hope I don't have to get rid of that. I used to sit in Dave Wilkerson's meetings years ago. You know, he preaches hellfire and damnation. And I think, I hope he don't say I have to get rid of this. Oh, I hope I can keep that. You know it's an idol when it scares you to death when you think you're going to have to get rid of it. So it's the boogie bear. And then in verse 28 it says, they're a nation lacking counsel. They lose their understanding because of idolatry. And then it talks about their poison is their clusters are bitter. So then you see bitterness. And that's in verse 32. In verse 36 it says, for the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees their strength is gone. When you lay down the idols, the anger leaves, the fear leaves, the terror leaves. You get understanding, the bitterness leaves, the jealousy leaves. God has compassion on you when he sees that your strength is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. And he, God, will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they sought refuge. And then look down in verse 39, the last part of 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. You see that your idols wound you. If I get hurt and say Ish hurts my feelings and I think, well, I'm just not going to forgive him and next time I see him, I'll just ignore him. I just turned to a false god, didn't I? But if he hurts my feelings, which he doesn't, I just think he's such... I hate to call you sweet, but you're one of the sweetest. I was telling Carl last night, he's one of the sweetest, kindest. The love of Jesus comes forth from your life. And I mean that with all my heart. Carla, I tell you, I don't say things I don't mean. Anyway, what was I saying now? Was anybody listening to know where I got off track? Holy Spirit. Right, he heals. Okay, for example, and if I don't forgive Ish and say, Lord, I forgive him. What are you trying to show me through this? You see, God lets people mirror what he's trying to change in me. And if I don't deal with it God's way, then what happens is I'm wounded. Right? So wounds come in because of idolatry, because someplace in your life you didn't turn to God. If I get a chance to teach again, I'm going to teach on a wounded spirit. It's where you get your button pushed. Right? Your parade gets rained on. That's tied to it. That hot wire is tied to an idol. Amen? And we all have button pushers. God wants the button pushers healed. The button pushers come in through unresolved childhood issues. If you're an explosive person and somebody pushes your button, it's rawr! But if you're a suppressed person, you can just feel it going, and it stops right here because you wouldn't let anyone know you were hurt. But you feel it right here. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know. God wants to heal your wounds. And if you say, I'm just a wounded person, you're just saying, I'm just full of idols. That's what you're saying. That's right. That's true. Okay, some other things about fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear, like faith, demands a response. Fear at its root is a spiritual problem. It's faith in what the devil's telling you. It's faith, but it's faith in the devil instead of God. Fear has torment. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Meaning, if I trust God perfectly, I have no fear. 1 John 4:18 says, same thing. I wrote that twice. Fear will be the number one killer of people in the last days. Luke 21:26 says, men's hearts failing them from fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Can I tell you, the church is waiting to get raptured out of here, and it doesn't even bother them. It's like they're like an ostrich with the head in the sand. They think if their head's covered that their rear end's not going to get hit. I'm telling you, that is the most damnable doctrine. I had a lady say to me one day, well, I don't care about all the things that are going on. I want to be in the first train out of here. I said, lady, I hope you're right. I want to be with you, but just in case you're not, I'm going to live like you're wrong. But people that are waiting around to get taken, snatched out of here, and are not dealing with their issues, can I tell you, there's going to be a panic over this country. And I don't believe it's going to be far off. There's supposed to be a mandatory, some kind of mandatory smart real ID card by May of 2008. It'll have all your information, which is probably no more than maybe a little bit more in Social Security. The next thing you know, with some terrorists, they'll propagate it on the news that the terrorist is going to steal it. So we got to stamp it in your head, or stamp it in your head or on your hand, and that's not far off. Anyway, keep on the armor of light. When you see a light, it blinds your eyes and you can't see what's behind it, right? So that's how we're going to be hidden. One of the ways. Amen. And so the Bible says men's hearts will fail them because of fear. And fear exposes an area of your conscience that's not clear. 1 John 3:21 says, beloved, if your heart condemns you not, then you have confidence before God. So if you don't have faith, it's exposing an area of your conscience that's not clear. You hear that? Something recently God has shown me, I live on 116 acres, and I'm telling you, I could walk down the road and chiggers would jump on me. And one year I was walking with one of my intercessor friends, and I said, watch out for the chiggers. They'll get you. She said, I just rebuked those chiggers in the name of Jesus. And you know, I never got another chigger all year long. And then I started to get in a few this year, and I thought, now what's wrong here? And then I think I heard somebody say that fear opens you up. And what the Lord showed me is if you fear the chiggers, since I repented of the fear of chiggers, I haven't got another chigger. It's like, you know, if you fear something, it draws that thing to you because you're not walking in faith. For example, I was out witnessing one day. And I had about 5 minutes, and I left my little 8-year-old granddaughter in the car. I walked up to this house, and there was a Rottweiler in the yard. And I'm telling you, I thought I was safe till I got up to the thing, and that thing jumped over the fence. And I thought, now if he sees that I'm fear, I'm dead. If he sees I'm afraid, I'm dead. And I just thought, I made a decision. Dog, you're going to get the worst end of this deal. If you touch me, you're going to get it worse. And I said, get away from me in the name of Jesus. And he went, rrr, rrr, rrr. I said, get away from me in the name of Jesus. And that's how I got to the car. He would back off, and then I would get out of here in Jesus' name. And he'd back off. If I'd have let my granddaughter out, he would have killed her. But what I'm saying is fear, if they sense fear, see, you're not walking in faith. And if you fear a dog's going to bite you, he's going to bite you. It's the same. I know people that are married that have a fear. They walk on eggshells. They're going to make their mate mad. Can I tell you that fear draws that mate to get mad? So, because it's not faith. And that was just a revelation that God just recently given me. If you fear it, you're going to... Job said, what I fear comes upon me and what I dread befalls me. Fear causes you to bury your talent. Matthew 25. The Lord goes on a journey, and he gives one servant 5 talents, one 2, and one 1. The one that had five talents said, Lord, here's five more. The one that had two said, Lord, here's two more. The one who had one said, oh, Lord, I saw you as a harsh, stern man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and I went and buried your talent. And God said, you wicked slave. And he assigned him to hell where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Proverbs 29 says, fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And then Hebrews says, fear of death subjects me to slavery my whole life. God tells me to give up my life that I might find it. So if I have a fear of death, I'm afraid to give up my life. And that subjects me to slavery my whole life. It destroys your fruitfulness. John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. You have to die to live. You have to give up your life that you might find it. Deuteronomy 28 says, fear is a curse. Because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, it says, and your life will hang in doubt before you, and you'll be in fear day and night and have no assurance of your life. And in the morning you'll say, oh, I wish it were evening. In the evening you'll say, oh, I wish it was morning, because of the dread of your heart. And dread is fear. It's the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. Romans 13 says, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for you have not received the spirit of fear leading to slavery or bondage again, but you've received the spirit whereby you cry, Abba, Father. So you either have the yoke of Jesus on through submission to His Lordship, walking in faith, or you have on a spirit of slavery that causes your life to be dominated by fear. It's a yoke of slavery. King James says a yoke of bondage leading to fear. If your life is dominated by a spirit of fear, you have on a yoke of bondage or a yoke of slavery. And then fear can swallow you up. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. And I've got just about five or six pages of autoimmune diseases I got off the internet. If you want to see all the autoimmune diseases that are rooted in fear, you can just pull up autoimmune diseases on the internet, complete list, and it lists all the diseases that are fear-related. And so, you know, going to the doctor for medication is not going to solve the problem if you're living in fear, is the point I'm trying to make. Find the fear, repent of it. Keep on repenting till your body comes into peace and rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon your neck and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. Amen? And so, the doorways to fear is generationally. You know, you need to break generational curses. If your mother was fearful, your daddy was fearful, your grandmother was fearful, it's a generational curse. Leviticus 26 says, if you break covenant with the Lord, that the sound of a driven leaf will make you run when nobody's chasing you. And you'll tumble over one another and falling, trying to get away because of fear. You'll run when nobody is chasing you. That's in Leviticus 26. And breaking covenant today is when we don't love the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, body, and our neighbor as ourselves. Another doorway to fear is not being protected and nurtured as a child. And that's one of the roots to the fibromyalgia. Not being protected and nurtured, distrust of authority. Can't trust authority. I'm the only one I can trust, and it scares me because I can't trust me either, but I'm the best choice I have. Parents were controlling, angry, and raging. You can be swallowed up in somebody's rage, swallowed up in their anger, swallowed up through fear. Having Ahab and Jezebel parents, a controlling parent and a passive parent. You had to be the mommy or daddy because parents were irresponsible, absent, or incompetent. Being swallowed up due to a fearful childhood event. Turning to false refuge rather than turning to God. You know, most of us, you know, if this represents, and my overhead doesn't work, but just say this represents Psalms 91. This is an umbrella of protection. Here I'm protected. I'm covered. If my mother and father were not under the lordship of Jesus, then I was just born out here in the realm of fear where the arrows fly. This is out in the realm of stress. And so if you weren't covered as a little child, you know, the remedy to that is just to forgive your parents and ask God to come cover you. And so if I turn to a false refuge rather than God, that puts me out here instead of here. You know, there's a scripture that says in Isaiah 35, there's a highway of holiness. And that's a picture of Psalms 91. No lion, which represents Satan, can get on that road. No unclean or no fool can walk the highway of holiness. So that lets out bin Laden and all the terrorists, and I don't have to worry if I'm walking the highway of holiness. Hallelujah. You know, there's a highway coming in from Mexico, Port Lázaro Cárdenas, ports owned by China and south of Mexico, coming straight up through the United States, 4 football fields wide. It'll be owned by an international, it'll be owned by a foreign company. I think it's interesting that God tells us in the Bible about another highway and that China will be putting sensors along that highway. And I believe that China is financing this Mexican company that will own this international corridor. Anyway, you don't hear that too much on the news, do you? They're already building it. It's already being built right now in Laredo, Texas. But there's a highway of holiness I can walk on. No lion can get on it. I don't have to be afraid of the terrorists. I live out in the middle of the woods, and I'm not the least bit afraid. Years and years and years, I ministered to people that were into Satanism. And not one Satanist has ever set foot on my property that I've ever known about. Because angels are all over that property. Amen? Because I'm hidden. And you'll be hidden. You're hidden as you walk in submission to the Lordship of Jesus. Another doorway to fear is being... As a little child, having to be the big girl or the big boy. And I've got to be big, but I don't know how to be big, and I'm scared. So I have to put on a big boy or big girl personality. Being verbally abused, sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused, or spiritually abused. Legalistic and performance-oriented parents who demand perfection out of you opens you up to fear. Ish said he wanted to be 6 foot... 2 and weigh 190 pounds. Well, I wanted to be petite and I weighed 11 pounds when I was born, so will you pray for me before this is over? I still, you know, you've got to accept yourself. I pray in tongues that I accept myself. I still don't accept myself. So maybe you can help me with that before it's over. Go home delivered. Hallelujah. Yes, those words. That's right. But you see, I would go in a dress store and I'd look at these little tiny petite things that I couldn't get one arm in them. And I'd come home, I'd take a nosedive. Because you see, I had an image, an idol, an idea, or a picture in my mind that to look right, I had to be petite. And it's idolatry. Praise the Lord. And I'm about 80% accepting myself. But I'm still not there. How many of you know that you don't get there till you step into heaven? But you have to overcome, right? We've all got things to overcome. Bill Gothard says this, that every person has at least one weakness someplace that God wants to use to build character in you. Amen? Okay, another doorway to fear is you think you have to be perfect, look perfect, do everything right, and the motivation is that I want you to love me and accept me. Another doorway to fear is through pain, trauma, neglect, and abuse. You let the sun go down on your anger and turn to a false god instead of God. And then you have a wound. Another route to fear as a child, to keep your world of chaos in order, you had to take control. Now, how we overcome fear, number one, we've got to lay down the idol. And the way I do it is I say, Lord... You know, when Abraham told his servants, when God told him to take his idol, take his son up the mountain, he said, my son and I are going up to worship and we'll come back. See, God told Abraham, because he told him he's going to be the father of many nations through Isaac, he knew that even if he killed his son, he's going to bring him back. But that's faith. And so to get rid of your idol, you got to take it up the mountain and you say, and I say, Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for me to be 200 pounds, then so be it. But Satan, you cannot touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for nobody to love me, like me, accept me, then so be it. But Satan, you can't touch me. And you see, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. That's saying, Lord, I trust you so much with my life. You know what I need, who I need, if I need it, and when to give it to me. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. And so you lay down your idol. You take your thoughts captive. Another illustration is that an old lion will chase the prey into the woods. And all he can do is roar. And the prey runs into the woods. And the young lions, they kill the prey. And then the old lion comes and gets a share of the spoil. And so the key is to run into the roar, not run away from it. And I wanted to use the illustration on PowerPoint, but it didn't work. But of the old lion chasing the deer into the woods so the young lion could kill him. And then the one of the prey running into the roar because the old lion can't do anything. And that's a picture of Satan being a defeated foe. Amen? It's like call his bluff. And then give up your life. And your life is whatever you're holding on to. Whatever that makes you angry. If you don't have it, and if you have it, you have a fear you'll lose it. And if you don't have it, you have a fear you won't get it. It's an idol. And then follow Abraham's example. Take your idols up the mountain and run into God's refuge. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. And can I tell you that it's just as real as this building? It's a spiritual place you cannot see, but it's as real as this physical building you can see with your natural eyes. You cannot see the strong tower refuge of the Lord because it's a spiritual place to run. But hey, when you run into it, you're covered. And the scripture says if you abide in Him, you've come to know the love that God has for you. God will give you a revelation of His love when you yield to Him. And then you can command your enemy, the enemy, to spit you out if He swallowed you up. So stand up and ask the Lord to show you. And I've given you a list of things, of ideas, of things that could be fear. And if you'll repent over these fears and add any fears that you have, God says if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So here's just a few fears that you can repent of. And you confess your sin, that breaks the ground, and if you repent. You know, if you were trained up to be afraid, God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. If you were trained up to be fearful, you're not departing from it right now. So forgive your parents for not training you up in safety and love and nurture and care. And that forgiving them, and I would like to apologize to those of you who are African Americans. Those of you who are Hispanic, I'd like to ask you on behalf of a white American to forgive us and me for what our forefathers did to hurt you and your forefathers, even our Oriental brother here. You know, God is no respecter of persons. He loves every color. And if you think He doesn't love every color, you're not even getting to heaven because God's love. God is love. Amen? You need to check out your salvation. You're my brothers and sisters, and I love you, and God loves you more. Hallelujah. And God didn't make any mistakes. God is not a respecter of persons. And so you've believed a lie that because of the way the culture is, you've believed a lie something's wrong. Nothing's wrong with you. You're just right on target. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're beautiful.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
And we ask you to search our heart and test our thoughts and show us every area that we need to repent of. And see, the idol gets there because as little children, we don't know we can go to God because parents model for us a picture of what God's like. So what we do is we just kind of stuff it and we just kind of turn to a promise. When I grow up and get out of here, life's going to be different. And it isn't. It sets up a reaping process. And you think, well, I need a new set of circumstances. Can I tell you, wherever you go, you got to take yourself, and your reaping follows you. That's right. The grass is greener over the septic tank. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want the truth that makes me free. Show me every fear in my life. And how it got there as a little child, when I didn't go to you, I turned to a promise that was an idol. And that opened me up to fear and all kinds of negative emotions. I want to remove vexation from my heart and put pain out of my body. In Jesus' name. And just repent over all the list. Repent over, if I were you, I'd repent over all those fears. And then any that the Lord shows you. And then forgive your parents for the way they trained you up. And then when you're through repenting, if you'll sit down, we'll do group deliverance. Don't sit down until you're through repenting. You can't be that fast a repenter. Unless you can't stand. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger as a little child and all these areas of fear. The things that happened to me as a little child. Lord, I didn't know I could go to you. And I turned to false gods. And I ask you to forgive me. And I forgive my mother and father for not training me up according to the Word of God. And I forgive every person that has tortured or enslaved or hurt my forefathers. See, that's a huge coming down through Indian ancestry, African American, because of slavery. Tremendous fears come down, tremendous pain. So, Lord, I forgive every person that's hurt my forefathers, no matter what color I am. And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the traumas of my forefathers. I break generational curses of fear, soul tie curses, cultural curses of fear and pain. I cut and sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. If you'd rather say, I send back everything of them that got on me, and I call back everything of mine that got on them. However, I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Lord, forgive me for living in a fight and flight mode. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for fear of not being in control. Forgive me for perfectionism. Forgive me for fearing everything. Forgive me for not keeping my eyes stayed upon you and my mind stayed upon you. Forgive me for not taking my thoughts captive. Forgive me for passion that has rotten my bones. God, would you bring my body into peace? In the name of Jesus, forgive me for fear of man that has brought a snare. Forgive me for not fearing you. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for taking thought of for my life, what I should eat, what I should put on, and forgive me for not considering the lilies. Forgive me for not seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness so that all these things will be added unto me. Forgive me for being careful for everything and not careful for nothing. I make my request be known to you, Lord, and I thank you for your peace. Forgive me for sin. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for listening to the devil instead of listening to you. Forgive me for not being in the Word to know what you said. Forgive me for not memorizing your Word, meditating on your Word. God, forgive me for not having the perfect love that casts out fear. And God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for burying my talent. Seeing you as harsh, stiff, and stern, because I had a harsh, stiff, stern daddy and mother. God, forgive me for holding on to my life, being afraid to let go of my life. Forgive me for not giving up my life. I choose to give it up now. Forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments that would cause my life to hang in doubt before me and me to be in fear day and night. Forgive me for not letting you lead me. I forgive my mother and father for not leading me. I renounce the lie that you cannot be trusted. Forgive me for rebellion, not wearing your yoke, which has caused me to have another yoke, a yoke of slavery that's caused my life to be dominated by fear. God, in Jesus' name, you said that you'll make Baal of Babylon spit out what he swallowed. And I just command the enemy to spit me out. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for not being sober and vigilant and letting Satan swallow me up. Forgive me for breaking covenant with you. I forgive my parents for not protecting me and nurturing me in childhood. I forgive them that I could not trust them. Forgive me for trusting myself. I've been scared. Forgive me. God, I forgive my parents for being controlling and angry and raging. And I forgive them that I was just born outside of your refuge, born out here. Lord, would you bring me under your shelter? Bring me under your covering, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I forgive my mother and father for being Ahab and Jezebel. I forgive them that I had to be the mommy and the daddy. I forgive them for swallowing me up. Forgive me for turning to false refuges instead of you. I forgive my mother and father that I had to be a big girl or a big boy. I forgive my mother and father for verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, spiritual abuse. I forgive them for hurting me, not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for making me think I have to be perfect, do everything right, look good, to be loved and accepted. Forgive me for idolatry. I forgive my parents for pain, trauma, neglect, abuse. And God, I let the sun go down on my anger. I truly do forgive them. And Lord, forgive me for receiving a lie that to keep my world of chaos in order, I have to take control. Lord, I choose to take my thoughts captive. I run into the roar. I give up my life. Lord, I take all my idols up the mountain. And I tell you, if I need them, give them back. And if I don't need them, I ask whatever would bring you the greatest glory and honor. In Jesus' name, I make an altar to you, just like Abraham did Isaac, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Now I come against the spirit of fear, terror, in the name of Jesus. I come against fear of deliverance, fear of not being delivered, fear of not being free. I command you to loose every person in this room. I come against the fear of a spirit of independence. I command you to loose them. I come against panic attacks, phobias, claustrophobia. I command you to loose them. I command fear of tomorrow and the future, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, dread, fear of change, fear of unknown, speculative fear, distress. Loose them now in Jesus' name. Loose them now. Fear of loss, fear of losing their life, fear of the loss of life, fear of death, fear of dying prematurely, Fear of losing your mate, I command you to loose them now in Jesus' name. I command fear of loss of spouse, fear of losing children, fear children are not saved, fear of loss of relationship. Every fear, I come against it. Every fear they've repented of, I say, leave now. In Jesus' name, you have to go. In the mighty name of Jesus. Cough it out. I break your power. In Jesus' name, fear of blood, fear of vomiting, demonic fear of God, fear of man, fear of punishment. Out! Cough it out. The word spirit means breath. Let it go. All spirits that came in through slavery, I say go. Move. All spirit of fear of losing salvation, fear of evil spirits, fear of fear, superstition, bad news. Loose them. Distrust of God. Distrust of man. Loose them. I command suspicion, betrayal, fear of man, fear of speaking, timidity, shyness, cowardice. I say move. Self-consciousness, shyness, inferiority, fear of criticism, fear of inadequacy. Out. Move. Cough it out. Blow it out. We're almost ready. About two more minutes. In Jesus' name, I command spirits of shyness, inferiority, fear of criticism, fear of inadequacy, fear of reproof, fear of harassment, fear of bitterness, fear of anger, fear of bugs, critters. Out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Fear of disappointment, fear of reproach, fear of humiliation, fear of races, cultures, bigotry, fear of rejection, fear of failure. Loose them now in Jesus' name. I bind the strong man and I command you to loose them. Fear of abandonment, fear of being alone, fear of loneliness. Out, move, out in Jesus' name. Fear of poverty, fear of lack, fear of failure, fear of not having food. I say loose them now. In Jesus' name, fear of chemicals, fear of allergic reactions, I command you to go. Fear of success, horror, terror, out, move. I command you to loose them. Trembling, I break the power of a trembling heart. Drivenness, out. Perfectionism, out. Controlling spirits, witchcraft, out. I command you to loose them now in Jesus' name. I command fear of mother, fear of father, fear of spouse, fear of somebody's anger, fear of children, out, fear of disaster, fear of the terrorist, fear of being killed, fear of being murdered, fear of fires, out, fear of war, fear of conflict, out, in Jesus' name, fear of sex, I command you out, fear of pregnancy, fear of intimacy, fear of suffocation, drowning, fear of water, fear of responsibility, fear of commitment, fear of being dependent upon anybody, fear of being robbed and cowardness. I command you to loose every person in this room. In Jesus' name, I break your power. And Lord, we take accountability, pray with me, for whatever happened to us in the loins of our forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve, of all these fears we've confessed. And Lord, we ask you to let your cleansing blood flow down through our bloodlines, washing away any ground Satan's had in our lives through any of these fears. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. We break soul ties with every person that's made us afraid or hurt us. I take them out of the mouth of the abuser in Jesus' name. I take them out of the spirit of fear. I take them out of the spirit of rage. I take them out of the spirit of anger in Jesus' name. I command in Jesus' name, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, spit them out in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. What a mighty God you are. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food, bless those that prepare it, bless every worker here at Lake Hamilton. And Lord, we ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. And thank you, Lord, for another day of freedom and wonderful food. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, 115 upstairs with Carla and 115 down here with Doc. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.